I would like to thank the Lord for giving me another time to visit you. I want to thank Prophet Vaughn and Sister Wendy for the relationship God has given to us over the years. You know, our God is a God of relationships. First and foremost, our relationship is with the Lord God himself, is our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And then God, so that's the vertical one. But then the Lord also has given us horizontal relationships. And every relationship from the Lord, I believe and I know it's for a divine purpose. The Lord has a purpose with God-given relationships. And I want to also thank Pastor Josh and your wife and the leadership here for having me also. Praise the Lord. I want to just say a few words concerning what I've just finished talking about, concerning God-given relationships. Whenever God, you're going to notice that there was a Timothy and there was a Paul. And Paul, he had a number of young men whom he traveled with ministering. But when you look at Timothy specifically, you know, I was thinking of you when I was sitting there. Paul started to travel with him, and as he started to travel with him, the Bible says Timothy was well spoken of by the saints who were in Lystra and Derbe. And then they started to travel together. Initially, he was just ministering to Paul, but the relationship grew. Eventually, he was trained in the word. He was so much trained in the word, such that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, "The things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men, who shall be able to pass them to others also." And there are a number of references in the Bible concerning Timothy. In one place, Paul says he's different from others. Others are thinking only of themselves. And then in another place later on, he calls him a man of God. But initially, he's just doing, he's serving the man of God. And then as it goes on, there are a number of references such that I only started to see certain things at the beginning of this year. I had been reading them in the Bible, but I had not noticed them. That he co-authored some of the letters with the apostle Paul. Because Paul would write and say, Paul and Timotheus. And they would be addressing churches. Of which there is what is called growing in the relationship and also growing in the house of God. And I want to say some things also which the Lord impressed upon my heart whilst I was seated over there, which I was not thinking of talking about. I don't say this because the Prophet Vaughn is my friend. In fact, I don't know whether I've ever shared this with you. I don't just call everyone a friend. And there are certain people whom God has given to me. We relate, they're brothers and sisters in the Lord, but we are not that close of friends to call each other friends. The relationship God has given us with Prophet Vaughn is a kingdom relationship. There are certain things I have not mentioned. I think I might be saying this for the first time. In 1990, when he first came to Zimbabwe and to minister, and we had a camp meeting, we had just come out of a storm as a church. And it was a storm which could have really shaken us, but God used him so much to minister encouragement. Such that there are sometimes just someone's coming will encourage people in the ministry and the prophetic ministry. It will encourage and strengthen the saints a lot. There are some things which I shared with Prophet Vaughn, which happened last year in our ministry. We had a brother whom we had worked with for 30 years, and that brother, he didn't walk right. And the enemy really wanted to shake our ministry. And then I saw Prophet Vaughn being released by the Lord to come again to Zimbabwe at this juncture, at this time, after many years. And then when he came this time and he ministered, God used him so powerfully. And the other thing that also happened is we went to a city, which he was telling me this morning, if he was to live in Zimbabwe, that would be the place he can live in. You can't live in Harare where we are, in a city called Mutare. Prophet Vaughan went to that city of Mutare and ministered. And we had about 48 to 24-hour notice to various pastors to come for a breakfast. And those pastors, the pastors of the city from many churches, they came for a breakfast where Prophet Vaughan ministered. And that did a lot in that city in terms of the building of the kingdom of God. Because our pastor in that city, he was one of the key pastors. And most of the pastors in the city, including those who came to that breakfast, they were looking up to him as a model, but in the Lord. But I want to thank God that Prophet Vaughan, he's such a great man of God, and God uses him powerfully. And I don't call him prophet to impress him or to impress you. You know, I've told people, by the grace of God, if I don't see the ministry of a prophet in you, I'll never call you a prophet. If I don't see the ministry of an apostle in you, I'll never call you an apostle or a pastor or whatever. Because the Bible tells us that no man takes this honor upon himself. And Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, not by man, but by the Lord himself. You know, the Lord is, you are really blessed. I think I've told you. You are really blessed to have this man and woman of God here. By the grace of God, I have interacted with pastors who have got a handful of people in their churches. We're talking about 5 people to 10 people in their church. And then I've also interacted with pastors who have got thousands, tens of thousands of people in their ministries. But I can tell you honestly, this man of God is one of the choice men of God in the body of Christ. He is really a great man of God, and please learn everything you can learn. And get everything you can get. And because you are really blessed. The other time we were in a conference with my wife, we went to the Azusa Centennial, which was done in Los Angeles some years back. And when we went to this conference, normally when people are keynote speakers in a worldwide conference where there are many people, when they are keynote speakers, you can hardly see them. But when we arrived at that conference, one of the keynote speakers was Pastor Sande Adelijah, the Nigerian pastor who pastors a church in the Ukraine. And the church he pastors, that's the largest church in terms of numbers in a single congregation in Europe. And Pastor Sande, when we arrived there, we found him fellowshipping with Christians from all over the world in the lobby. He would just be walking to people and fellowshipping with them and encouraging them. And I said, that's quite unique. Then the next thing again, we went to another conference with my wife soon after that conference in Seattle. And there was a global conference there on church planting and evangelism. And Pastor Sande, we met him there again. And when we arrived, we found him in the lobby fellowshipping with people. And yet he was one of the keynote speakers. Then the other thing that happened in that conference, one of the speakers was Pastor Brian Houston from Australia. And Pastor Brian, he came and he was one of the speakers, and we're really looking forward to hearing from him on how to grow a big church. But when Pastor Brian came, the message the Holy Spirit gave him was the power of the small church. And that was his main message. And it was a word from God. And he spoke something that opened the hearts and the minds of many people, many of us who were present, because he took us by surprise, even by the title of the message. And he said, most people you know who are being used by God to impact nations and to do great things were not raised in big churches. And, he was very clear on it. He said they were not raised in churches where you are talking about 5,000, 10,000 people. Some of them, they were raised in churches of 100 people. And therefore, please don't underestimate what God is doing here. By the numbers you might be seeing on television, maybe on TBN or another Christian channel in a congregation, you thank God that the Lord brought you here. and the Lord planted you here. And it's part of the plan and the purpose of God for you to be equipped here, like what the man of God has been saying. And it's in the book of Jonah, I think it's Jonah chapter 2. It says, those that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercies. It says, those that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. It means if you focus on things that are vain in the sight of God, if you focus on what's not truth according to the word of God, you can end up making wrong decisions. Because sometimes people come into churches in a wonderful way and they live in a wonderful way. Why? Because they come in and they're kind of thinking, it's going to come out like this and that and that and that according to what I read in such and such a book or what I saw on such and such a channel. Mm-hmm. But my brother, my sister, the Bible tells us we are the body of Christ, but members in particular. And the word of God says the Lord has planted us in the body. He has set us in the body according to his will. Amen. Amen. And I want to encourage you, get everything you can get. Be equipped. And be faithful. Hallelujah. You see, it's not about being visible in front. It's about the Father seeing your faithfulness. It's about the Father seeing your faithfulness. You know, I was not planning on sharing this. You see, if the man of God shared in the other meeting that on being purpose-driven a little bit. He touched that a bit. You know, avail yourself to serve in the house of God. The Bible says, through love, serve one another. If you don't know what to do, see the pastors and say, I'm available on Monday or on Tuesday. I've got 3 hours I want to use to serve in the house of God during the week. And there will definitely be something for you to do. And sometimes what happens is we approach leadership and yet we already have it in our minds. I'm sure they are going to ask me to do A, B, C, D. Be available to do even the thing that is least respected by human beings. Remember the word of God says the one who wants to be great in the kingdom must be the servant of all. And the one who wants to be the greatest must be the slave of all. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ put it. And these are the words from the King of the Kingdom. And as he's the King of the Kingdom, and when you are serving, don't serve out of duty, but out of love. You know, Jesus Christ in John 13, the Bible says, when he knew his time had come, he loved his own. He loved them to the end. And then he took the towel. And when he took the towel, then he washed the feet of his disciples. But first of all, we are told about his love for his own. And then as he was washing the feet of his disciples, he was washing the feet of those whom he loved. And we are not talking here about our own love. We are talking about the agape love, the God kind of love, which Romans 5:5 says is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom God has given unto us. And when we do it out of love, remember, love is kind, love is not arrogant or rude, love is not puffed up, love is not self-seeking, and love does not keep a record of wrongs. Do not do it in order to get praise, compliments. Because sometimes they might not be given. Sometimes you might be corrected. But I like what one of my pastor friends once said. He said, correction is not rejection, but it is instruction unto perfection. Because the Lord wants us to do things better. Because when you are being corrected, it means you are also shown, you'll be pointed on how best to do it. And learn to receive it. Because you know what makes people give up sometimes is offense. People take offense in the whilst they ask, they are worshiping or they are leading in one way or another, they are serving in the house of God, then they take offense because somebody rubbed on them in a way they consider the wrong way. But love forgives. Can we all say love forgives? Amen. Amen. You see, wherever people are together, you know that we are growing people. And as we are growing people, I mean, I'm talking about Christians. We are growing. The Ephesians chapter 4 says, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for verse 11. One version says, for the perfecting of the saints. You don't perfect what is perfect. You see, we are the righteousness of God in Christ, positionally. But we are growing. And as we are growing, that love that's shed abroad in our hearts, that's the love also, the Bible says, it bears all things. And it endureth all things. That is the love that keeps the marriage of a husband and a wife who are in Christ together. Because in the world, they say, if I don't get it my way, I ship out. But the love of God, it endures all things. You know, I like a statement which was made by E.W. Kenyon many years ago. He said, agape does not know the divorce court. It endures all things. It bears all things. It never fails. Now, this is not to say that we are perfect. Because maybe in your life you have passed through the divorce court before. But one thing is, God, allow God to work in your life so that it doesn't become, so that in the marriage you are today, if you are in a marriage, you don't give up and then tomorrow you get in another one and you give up again and on and on. You see, it means there is no growth taking place in your life in the area of love. But one thing about that love, it forgives. It endures all things. It never fails. And in the house of God, I want to say this to us. Get ready to forgive your brothers and sisters. We don't have to exercise faith for people to wrong us. Somebody is going to do things the wrong way or the way you don't like. But we just need to know that we are family. The Lord has brought us together. Hallelujah. And we are one family, we are one body, we are one army, and we are moving on together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And also be patient. Sometimes you don't get what you thought you were supposed to get. I thought I was going to become a deacon, or I thought I was going to become an elder, or I thought I was going to become this, or I thought I was going to become that. My brothers and sisters, I'm sure we have heard this before. It's not about titles. It's about function. There is no scripture that tells us we shall get rewards according to our titles. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. To reward every man according to his works. And the works that we do, these are not the works to save us, but these are the works we do because we are God's children, we are saved, and the grace of God is working in our lives, and by the grace of God, these are works of grace or works of faith. Yes. Because we are not saved by our works. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I just had a release to share that with you before I get to what I wanted to share with you. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Anoint our ears to hear, Father, what your Spirit is saying to the churches today. Anoint our hearts to be receptive to your word. Thank you, my Father, for revelation, knowledge, and spiritual understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. One day the Lord opened my eyes to a sermon which Jesus taught in the gospel according to Matthew. Because sometimes when we come to church and God moves and you hear so many messages, some people say, hey, there were so many messages. which one should I take? You know, when the Lord gives us many messages in one sitting, he knows that we need those messages. And then I went to Matthew 6, to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's one sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It has, you can give it many titles. It has various segments. But everything that Jesus spoke, it has a kingdom relevance. Yes. And he was speaking to his disciples, and the Bible says he went up the mountain, he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he taught them. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and then chapter 8, verse 1, he came down from the mountain. Amen. So there are times as God's children will come to the house of God and he's going to give us several messages. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are times when he will just preach a message and that's it, and he would go. But there are times when you would see him cover a number of topics. And if you have a Bible which has got subheadings, check out the subheadings of Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. Amen. Amen. Romans. I'm saying this because I've been really blessed by the sharings that have been taking place here today. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Can we all say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God? Can we say that again? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Can we say it one more time? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I've listened to a number of Bible teachers who are Greek scholars, and they tell us that the word son in the New Testament for children of God, one place talks about anybody who has received Jesus is a son of God, but there is another word which is used for mature sons. Amen. Because we all know very well that a person who has received Jesus today is already a son of God. But that person does not have the maturity to know that this is the Holy Spirit speaking or it's just me speaking. That person needs to be taught the word. Not to say that the person cannot be led by the Spirit. The person can be led by the Spirit, but the person needs to be discipled. I mean, a person receives Jesus, must be filled with the Holy Ghost, must be baptized in water, must be planted in a church, and must be taught concerning the Holy Spirit to whom he or she has received, and must know who the Holy Spirit is, so that he doesn't call the person does not call the Holy Spirit it, but he. Amen. Yeah. And then also we also know very well that all of us who have been in the Lord for some time, there was a time in our lives when we thought it was the Holy Spirit leading me, when it was just us who wanted it. But in growing in the Lord, you mature and you begin to know the voice of the Spirit. You know this is the way for us to go. It's like we come to a meeting like this and we've got leaders in the house of God. That's why, you know, the Bible says the elder must not be a novice or someone who is immature in the Lord. And because of maturity, a spiritual leader can know at this time we need to pause, we need to move in this direction. Amen. And like what you see also in with Philip. Philip says he's a disciple. He's chosen to become one of the seven deacons in Jerusalem. And then after he's chosen to become one of the deacons in Jerusalem, there's persecution that comes. And then he's serving tables in Jerusalem. And then persecution comes. And then chapter 8, he goes to Samaria to preach. And then after he goes to Samaria to preach, but then the Lord speaks to him. An angel of the Lord speaks to him and then to tell him where to go. A that he goes to a certain place and he sees the Ethiopian, and the Spirit of God speaks to him and says, go join yourself to that chariot. Amen. And he goes to join the chariot. He finds the Ethiopian reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And more, I mean, definitely that man traveled with bodyguards. You cannot just go to somebody who is a senior government leader and just go to his car and say, do you understand what you are reading? If he's reading something in a car or an armored vehicle. But he goes to him and he says, do you understand what you are reading? And he says, how can I understand if no one explains it to me? Yeah. And then the man was reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. He didn't know whether Isaiah was writing about himself or somebody else. He couldn't figure it out. And then Philip, the Bible says, Philip joined the chariot of the Ethiopian. And the Bible says he opened his mouth and he talked to him about Jesus. Can we all say he opened his mouth and talked to him about Jesus? Amen. And then the widow, and then what happens? He's sharing to him about Jesus, and then the Ethiopian says, see, here is what hinders me from being baptized. Philip says, if you believe, you can be baptized. And the man says, he believed that Jesus is the Son of God. And then the Bible tells us they came down from the chariot and they went into the water, and Philip baptized the man. I often tell people at home that I don't believe in using a cup and dipping your fingers in the cup and sprinkling the forehead for baptism, because definitely Philip and the Ethiopian could not go into a cup. The Bible says they went into the water. And when they went into the water, when they came out, Philip was translated by the Holy Spirit. Can we all say translated? By the Holy Spirit. You see, you see him led by the Spirit, translated by the Spirit. Can we all say led by the Spirit and translated by the Spirit? And we see him continuing in ministry. But you see, he was led by the Spirit to go join that chariot. And then there is another place again. You see, Paul and Silas, they want to go into Asia. But the Spirit of God tells them not to. They want to go into Bithynia. The Spirit of the Lord tells them not to. But then, in a vision, Paul sees a man of Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And then what do they do? They go to Macedonia. And when they go to Macedonia, we are told about Lydia. In fact, they went to Philippi, which was the principal city of Macedonia. And they preached there. The Bible says God opened the heart of Lydia to the gospel. And we are also told they were going to a place of prayer. Then Paul casts a demon out of a girl. But the Lord has led them there. But after casting the demon out of that girl, it was a demon of fortune telling. And the owners of that girl, she should have been a slave. When they realized that their business was gone, They made allegations and accusations against Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas, they were arrested, they were beaten to the extent that they were bleeding, and they were put in prison. But whilst they were in that prison, the Bible tells us at midnight. Can you all say at midnight? Amen. So the Bible says at midnight they were singing and praying. I mean, they were praising God and praying to the Lord at midnight. And I like something which Dr. Luke wrote there. He says, and the prisoners heard them. It means their prayers and their singing was loud. Now, it doesn't mean that all our prayers and our singing should be loud. But in that instance, you know, the Holy Spirit never puts statements in the Bible to fill space. The Bible says the prisoners heard them. And then the next thing what happened is there was an earthquake. The prison doors were opened. And as the prison doors were opened, not only that, the chains fell. And then the jailer, thinking the prisoners had escaped, he takes a sword, he wants to kill himself. And as he wanted to kill himself, but one thing that we see with Paul and Silas, they never grumbled. Mm-hmm. Silas never asked Paul, do you think, are you sure the Lord told us to come here? Because sometimes when troubles come and challenges come, the devil wants to use that to divide. But we need to understand that we can go through storms, we can go through challenges. But let's stay united. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulations. Mm. but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The Lord had led them there. Amen. Amen. And the Bible also tells us that through many troubles we shall enter the kingdom of God. Now, we don't have to exercise faith for trouble. As long as you are in this world, I like what somebody said, Satan's lease has not yet been canceled since he took the authority from Adam. He is still functioning on earth. Peter wrote after Jesus had already died at the cross and he said, be sober and be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is going around. Mm-hmm. So he is going around. But we thank God Jesus defeated him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the fact that we love Jesus, it doesn't mean that we are not going to face challenges. Challenges can come, trials can come. Now, it's true that there are certain problems that will come because of our folly. David says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He says, it was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn his decrees. Because he missed the mark. But what did he do? He repented. And thank God we can humble ourselves before the Lord. If ever you find yourself in a situation where you are going through an affliction because of your own disobedience. But as God's children, in spite of the disobedience, let's remember, the Father has not withdrawn his love. The Father still loves you. You might be seated here today and you are going through some very hard situations, very difficult situation because of your wrong decision making in your finances. And because you made those wrong, bad decisions, now you are in trouble. But whilst you are in trouble, let's still remember the Father still loves us. We can still go to the Father. He does not cancel his love because of what you did. I like a scripture in Psalms 107. It says, fools, because of their transgressions, they are afflicted. And they are drawn to the gates of death. And they lose appetite of all food. But they cried to God. And he sent his word. And his word healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. Can we all say, thank God he loves me. Can you say, I'm glad Jesus loves me. Now, this is not, you see, the grace of God is not an excuse for sinning. The Bible tells us the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. Amen. Amen. Can we all say thank you, Jesus? Let's all say as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Now, the jailer, Paul says, don't kill yourself. We are all here. Acts 16. I'm just flowing with the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the jailer says, he wants to kill himself. And Paul says, don't kill yourself. We are all here. And the man says, he doesn't say, count the numbers of the prisoners. Is everyone here? He says, what must I do to be saved? Then Acts chapter 16 verse 31, Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Can we all say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. I don't have to ask for a show of hands. All of us here, we have loved ones who are still not born again. I got born again in 1976. And after I got born again, I heard that verse. And after I heard that verse, I said, that's a promise. I take it. Amen. I stood on God's word. And I've seen God. Send laborers in the pathways of my loved ones. And they've been saved, allow me to say, left, right, and center. And they're still getting saved. I want to encourage some of us here, we have similar testimonies. Some of our loved ones who are now loving the Lord used to persecute us. They were trying to make life hard for us. But thank God we stood on the word. And God is fulfilling his word. Hallelujah. And I mean, God has fulfilled his word. But I want to encourage each one of us here who is believing God for the salvation of a father, mother, brother, sister, your son, your daughter. The Bible says your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. We experience challenges in our family with our oldest son, but we stood on God's word, and I want to thank God. Our church stood with us. And as they stood with us, we would pray together, standing on the word of God. And years ago, he recommitted his life to the Lord. Now he lives in England, and he's the one who is in charge of training musicians in a ministry in England there, which is having quite a great impact in England. Apart from the job that he does, but he's also above, he's the one, he's like the chief musician in several churches, because that church has got churches in different places. We had a challenge with our youngest child. His name is Mordecai. Prophet Vaughan knows him, and Brother Ken and Pastor Don, when they came, they saw him. So a few years ago, the enemy, the enemy influenced his mind. He started to think he was very grown up. He could make his own decisions. He rebelled. He was drinking and all that. He was not drinking far away from the church. He would go to that place near our church where prostitutes and hooligans from the city came. He was friends with the son of the governor of the National Bank. And that boy, who is the son of the governor of the National Bank, we call it the Reserve Bank, he drives all kinds of cars. He moves around with bodyguards. So as they were friends, so he could buy, he would buy for them all kinds of beer. And we stood on God's word, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household. We prayed. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. God sent brethren to us who encouraged us to surround our son with faith and love, to be firm and yet loving. And I want to thank God. The Lord sent Pastor Mike Petzer and Squeaky G. And our son heard Squeaky G share his testimony. And when he heard Squeaky G share his testimony, he listened. Otherwise, he would act in such a way that it's like we're having visitors at home. He is there, but he's not there. Yeah. And he would even initially ignored Pastor Mike Pence and Squeaky G. It's like greeting people and passing like it's a non-event that you are here. and that's how he behaved. But I want to thank God. When God used Squeaky G, our son listened, and then he said, Squeaky said, gave him a word of wisdom. Can we all say a word of wisdom? And the word of wisdom was, you need to get out of this place. Get away from the school where you are and get away from this environment. You need to go somewhere else. And he decided to go to Overland Missions. So he went to Overland Missions and went through the advanced missions training. And then he came back a different person. And when he came back, and he has been growing. Now he's a worship leader. Not only that, you know, when he left Man of God, he wanted to go back to Overland Missions. But what happened, God dealt with his heart. He said, I need to stay here. I have work for me to do here. And I said, it will be fine for you to stay here and lead worship and all that. But he said, I really sense in my spirit I need to stay here. But he wanted a confirmation from me. And then the next thing, he said, I have a vision to go to villages. So what he's doing now, what he did is he bought his own tent, he bought his own sleeping bag, and he has his own kit. He has just come back from his first village mission work in Zimbabwe. Wow. And they go, and he's going out with another brother. Can we all say, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and your household. See, when circumstances tell us what is contrary to what the word of God says, it is Satan attacking the word. But we need to know that God does not lie. and God's word will never fail. The devil is a liar in the name of Jesus. And remember, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. But take note, it's a delayed match. Because Jesus has already won. We know the conclusion. Have you ever watched a match on DVD which you know the end result? Sometimes you can even become apprehensive and yet you know the end. You know the end. God is not a man that he should lie. I want to say to you fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, God is, and you brothers and sisters, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, he shall and will he not do it. As he spoken, and shall he not make it good. And I sense in my spirit, I need to say to someone, it's not too late. It's not too late. Amen, might be in prison, might be doing drugs, selling drugs, or whatever. It's not too late. Jesus said, Lazarus will rise again. But they said he has been buried for 4 days. His body is already stinking. He said, roll away the stone. And Jesus said to Martha, did I not tell you, girl, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. The jailer got saved. His family got saved. Baptized, washed the wounds of Paul and Silas. Shout amen. There are traditions, church traditions, like Paul was crucified upside down, which is some they are considered reliable traditions, but we don't preach traditions. But there's a tradition that says that jailer played a key role in that church in Philippi. There is such a tradition. And whether it's true or not, but we know God's word was fulfilled. Him and his family got saved. This is not the end. Later on, Paul writes a letter to the church in Philippi. This is the church to which he wrote Philippians, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. They went through persecution, they went through hardships. So sometimes when we are doing the work of God, I speak this in my spirit. The path of least resistance is not necessarily God's ordained path for you. There are times when it's going to look like the way is full of roadblocks. But listen to your spirit. Shout amen.
Amen.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That church at Philippi, they are the ones that send offerings to Paul. They would look for where he was. And they would send, at one time, they sent Epaphroditus. And they said, your gifts, they have a sweet fragrance. You know, there are people who they give you something, but then they give you a nasty attitude. I don't know whether it happens in America or it's just in Zimbabwe. They will receive you in their home. They will be very nice. I mean, you go into a nice room, but then the next thing, they are giving you hard words. It happens in Zimbabwe. Amen. Yeah. I want to thank God for my friend. We have been friends for years. And I don't have time to say everything. I want to keep up the time here. Amen. Yeah. And we have people who they can do this and many things for you, so that you end up feeling like, no, it's better they don't do that for me because it doesn't have a fragrance, a sweet fragrance. But the Macedonians, they would give and not judge Paul. The church in Corinth here to correct them, according to 1 Corinthians 9, concerning their attitudes. Because they did not treat him like an apostle. They were judging even his apostleship. And so that Paul says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? Have I not been an apostle to others? But to you, I'm one.
Yes.
And those saints in Macedonia, they are the ones. I asked pastor to print something for me. A and thank you for printing it. According to the Message Bible, I believe this is this verse 1 up to 5, 2 Corinthians 8. It says, "Now, friends, I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches in Macedonia province. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor." It means, vitally speaking, they were poor. A poor person is somebody who has got less than enough. And the pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there and saw it for myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians. Now, these are poor, but they are sending gifts to the poor. The Bible has already said these were poor. But can we all say the grace of God?
The grace of God.
Because when I am poor and I'm in need and I'm under pressure, naturally speaking, I'm going to think of personal survival. But this was not the case of these saints. They were poor, having less than enough, and yet the grace of God was so much in their lives. And this is what they did. Let me finish off. It says, "I was there and saw it for myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians." I teach a series entitled "The Privilege of Giving to the Poor." They considered it a privilege. And now to consider it a privilege, there must be the privileges. And I studied my Bible and I discovered there are lots of privileges according to the word of God. And then it goes on to say, this was totally spontaneous, entirely their own idea, and caught us completely off guard. What explains it was that they had first given themselves unreservedly to God and to us. Partners. Can we all say partners? In the gospel. The other giving simply flowed out of the purpose of God. In fact, you can read it on your own up to verse 5, but I like the Message Bible, how it explains it. But this is that place where the Lord led them. Can we all say, as many? As are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And we're talking about, see, a person who has just been saved is led by the Spirit, but that person needs to learn a lot in order to mature and know the Holy Spirit and know the voice of God. But we are told that in this verse, Paul is talking about as many as are led by the Spirit of God. He uses the Greek word, means they are mature sons of God. That is one of the signs of spiritual maturity. When you are led by the Spirit and you are not led by your own flesh. Amen.
Amen.
And you are not led by your own reasonings. I want to say this. I've got 3 minutes left, but I want to say this. 2004, the Lord spoke to my spirit to do something I'd never done. He spoke to me about reaching to orphans. And when he spoke to me about reaching to orphans, it was after Stefan had sent me a container, which I never asked for, a food container. We had no place to put the food. We had to put it in our backyard. We had some rooms in the back. And when we put the food, then God spoke to me about reaching out to orphans. Then the next thing I realized, it was not just an occasional assignment. It was part of our permanent mandate. And we did more and more of it. And the next thing that happened is we discovered that the schools in the villages did not have enough food. And the Ministry of Education in our country wrote us a letter, and they gave us an opening to go into every school in Zimbabwe according to our capacity and help feed children. Because right now, statistics in Zimbabwe say 60% of the Zimbabwe population, if they don't get food aid in this year, there's going to be serious starvation. But At that time, then, things have been very bad in our country. So I found myself, the Lord leading me in this. I'm sharing this because Paul, the Lord said, don't go to Bithynia, don't go to Asia. Then they went to Macedonia, they went to Philippi. But the good things that happened, when we had that, then we started to go into schools. The next thing, the city of Harare where we live, they had no food to feed orphans and vulnerable children in the community centers where they are supposed to help as welfare outreaches of the city. They invited us. We set up an organization called the Joseph Foundation. We are the only feeding partner for the city of Harare. We give food to the city. And the city has no food. Recently, the town clerk wrote me a letter, and he said, will you please consider doing the whole city, because we are only doing a segment according to our capacity. And the next thing, we found ourselves setting up a Christian school. I didn't know we'd have a Christian school. And the city told us, go ahead and start the school before we approve the school. And the next thing, but they said, we shall charge you a fine, but do it. We won't bother you. So we started the school. Then because of that relationship, what has happened is the city gave us a permit this year for that school. The next thing, the Minister of Education, when they heard that, because that's the higher office above the town offices, they sent their people to inspect our school. In fact, before we started the school, they worked backwards. They are the ones who are supposed to be approached. We take the document from the city to the Minister of Education. But what they did is they actually jumped the gun. And they came and inspected our place, something which is supposed to be the final thing. They came and did it right at the beginning. Because God spoke to my heart and said, your children, especially in the city, they spend more time with teachers than with you, with the parents. Parents go to work early morning, come back in the evening, during school days. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, do you want your children to come to church and learn the word and go to a school where they are told there's no God? And the teacher says, there's no God, you came from baboons and monkeys. And then on Sunday, you rewind that again and you tell them, it's a God created you. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, do it. So that's how we started the school. But things have been expedited by obeying what the Spirit told me to start feeding people. And yet in the Bible, when I looked at the scriptures, I saw many things. So, I mean, I don't have enough time to share with you, but I wanted to conclude with this testimony to finalize as I close, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It benefits to obey God. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to your mind. I have been evangelizing, preaching, teaching the word. I've preached in stadiums, in different places in our country, and done big conferences, national and international. But to tell you the truth, I never thought I would be involved with feeding. But then I saw a verse where Jesus said, give them something to eat. Yeah. When the disciples thought they were supposed to send them home. And then they start to calculate, no, we are not, we can't do it. He said, what do you have? And they started with that which they had. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the time I've just shared the word with in this house, oh Lord. I thank you, my Father, for this is your house, this is your church. I thank you, Father, for this is an equipping place. And I thank you for equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. In the name of Jesus. Amen.